Thank you for listening to the On Background podcast with Roberto Alejandro, available on iTunes and Google Play Music, and of course at onbackground.com, your place for news and discussions about hip-hop, poverty, and policy. I'm your host, Roberto Alejandro, and I'm joined today on the phone by international recording artist Pablo Reyes, who is here to talk about a Kickstarter fundraiser for his new album, Nómada, or Nomad. Thank you so much for joining me, Pablo, and let me just start off by asking, you know, speak a little bit about your background in music for those who might not be as familiar with your work.
So I was born in Mexico, partly raised in Brazil, and then I lived in Europe for almost 6 years. I lived in Barcelona for 1 year, and then in Amsterdam for 2.5, and then in Rotterdam for almost 2.5. And, for 2 years in Rotterdam, so my math is going crazy right now. You know, I always consider myself a nomad in many terms, in all the possibilities of this what this word can, you know, describe. I have always been a nomad in music. I have always been a nomad in life, and I think part of that, you know, the traveling, of course, but also because I've been very curious about learning different kinds of music. So I started playing this little instrument called jarana that we have from Mexico. It's a traditional Mexican instrument at age 10, around, you know, that time. My mother, she's a bassoon player. She was playing at the orchestra in Mexico and Brazil. And music was always there, you know. And if you consider that I went to Brazil when I was 4 years old, I mean, that's like a, you know, like a very important moment in my life when you know, I go to this huge country that, you know, where music is very important in the culture. And that really marked, I think, my understanding of music and my universe. And then my dad is a poet and a cultural attaché at that moment for the Mexican embassy in Brazil. And we I was overexposed to art, not in a bad way, in a good way. And music has always been there. So, you know, later on, age 12, I was like, well, I want to play rock and roll. I want to play guitar. And sure. I love the Beatles, and I love all this rock bands, all the Britpop scene I was super interested in, the grunge scene, you know, Nirvana, Pearl Jam. And then I got my electric guitar, my first electric guitar, and I started, like, you know, taking lessons. And, you know, later on, it starts to get, you know, this me being very interested in other styles and genres. It's like I start to listen to Miles Davis, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? This is jazz. This is interesting. So I moved on to jazz, and I started studying with a teacher, more or less around age 15, I think. But I was, you know, always, I always felt like I was never changing my clothes from, like, wearing traditional Mexican music to rock to jazz. It was like just like I was getting dressed with all this different, you know, layers of music. So then later on, I started, like, going, you know, having more interest for Brazilian music again. And then at some point, I also went to study, to a conservatory, but I started studying classical music composition, which was also super interesting. It was not my thing, but I started there. Then I moved on to actually get a bachelor's degree in jazz performance in Mexico City. And by that time, I wanted to, you know, study abroad. So I applied for the Amsterdam Conservatory, and I did something it's like in between the bachelor's and the master's. It's like a very special program they have for jazz performance. You know, this conservatory is one of the top conservatories in the world, and they have like a very high level and very demanding, you know, scheme. So I moved on to Amsterdam. Before that, I was living already in Barcelona, like trying to, you know, get involved in like the music scene. And of course, flamenco was there. You know, it's a long journey, but like I ended up putting everything together when I went to Rotterdam. I moved to the Conservatory of Rotterdam, and I was studying a master's in music and a master's in world music and world music studies, it's called. And I, that's when everything made sense. I was like, okay, then I get to pick a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I started with an Indian teacher, tabla, and like the singing, the way they sing the rhythm, it's called stoccato. And, you know, everything started to make sense for me. I was like, all right, I can do all of these things and put them together. And for some reason, I feel like, you know, if you listen to what I do, I'm a very, I don't feel like I want to be labeled. I don't know. I don't even know what my music is. I cannot really describe it.
In interesting.
You know? And that's why I feel like I'm a nomad. I've been like traveling around, wandering around all these different kinds of music genres.
Yeah. I mean, let me speak a little bit about that title, Nomad, Nomada. Because as you've mentioned, you have a very broad array of musical influences that inform your work. And you have seen a lot of different parts of the world, and obviously those experiences inform who you are and your music as well. And as an artist who defies genre, and as an artist who is tackling in your work some of the themes of being a nomad, of being a stranger in a new place, right? Of certainly in the American context today, you know, there's a lot of discussion about immigration and identity in general, right? We're definitely talking a lot about identity. I'm wondering if you could just speak a little bit how that experience of, you know, having been born in Mexico, but having seen and lived in so much of the world, and as an artist, you know, having engaged with so many different types of music and knowing, it sounds like that they were all part of your wardrobe. Like you said, you know, not, you couldn't say to any of those styles of music, you're not part of what I do. You know, how does this album that you're working on, Nomada, grapple with this question of identity today?
Well, I first of all, I want to say that one of the most challenging, and I'm also going to say a little bit of addictive situations in life, is to start from scratch. You start from zero. And I have a song that says, cuando es origen la frontera. So when the borderline is your beginning, there's, you have nothing but you. With yourself, you have your body, and I'm not sure we actually, if we go into philosophical terms, I don't even know if we actually own our bodies. So you have nothing. You have you start from scratch, and that situation puts you in such a challenging spot where you are what you have. There, I love this phrase. My father used to tell me all the time. Omnia me cum porto. It's like a Latin for I am what I have. And I am what I'm carrying, and it doesn't mean I'm carrying like my guitar. It means my body and me and my knowledge and my experience. So in a way, I feel like my identity, you know, it's based on so many things that I was always a guy. I don't know. I remember in college or like even high school, at some point I started to feel bad about me not really belonging to any group, but when I realized at the end that I was belonging to all of the groups, that's when I turned it around. And I was like, okay, I can hang out with a rich kid, and I can hang out with a soccer players, and I can hang out with whoever. And you, like, I don't have to belong to anyone. We keep putting labels on everything. We keep saying in this country, we keep signing papers, and we keep, I don't know, filling in forms that say, what is your race? Yeah. Are you a Caucasian? Why do we have to do this? This is so wrong. We are the same people, man. We belong to the same tribe. It's called humankind. And I am tired of labels. So I still do the same. I have to put labels when I'm promoting a record. You have to. It's like, there's no other way. Otherwise, like, nobody's going to listen to it.
That's right. You can't just say it's music.
Yeah. But I like when, you know, I was checking out some Miles Davis quotes, and he said once something that I love. It's like, I don't play jazz, man. I don't play jazz. I play social music. That was beautiful. And one of the other amazing quotes that I heard, I'm not sure if it was John Lennon's, but he repeated it, and he said, "There's only two kinds of music, the good one and the bad one." So, you know, in that sense, and I feel like my identity is exactly that. It's a description of it's like a little, very spicy sauce with a lot of flavors. Sometimes it's mild, sometimes it's like, you know, I don't know. it's just a bunch of things that I like to put in my cooking pan, and that's the result. I'd rather let people figure out what that is, you know?
No, absolutely. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of hip hop, and hip hop is incorporated a lot into my journalism. And part of what I love about hip hop is exactly this, that what you're describing, right? Like hip hop is because of the way it was produced, especially in its first 20 or 30 years with the emphasis on sampling, you know, it can draw from every musical genre and it doesn't have to sound like any one thing to succeed. And it can draw from all sorts of experiences musically and otherwise, perspectival. And even though it's obviously a genre in and of itself, in that way, it kind of at least interrupts, if not defies, labeling. Speak a little bit about the Indiegogo campaign that you've got going for your album, and speak a little bit about the music, if you can. Based on what you said about your education, are you principally a guitarist at this stage, or are you a multi-instrumentalist? Or?
All right, interesting. Well, it's actually a Kickstarter campaign, and it's...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
At this moment, we are in we reached the first $2,000 out of 10, which is already great. I'm super happy. People have been really supportive. I'm actually giving a show tonight, and I'm playing in New York City. And today is John Lennon's death. How do you say this? The anniversary, exactly. So. We're going to play a couple of songs of his, and through the campaign, I decided that I'm going to do a little live streaming only for backers that already pledged. I'm going to do tomorrow at 11 a.m. And I'm going to start doing this for backers because I think people, you know, they feel so happy that they collaborated, but I want to give them something back apart from, you know, the perks that I love, and they're super funny because they're called the wall off. You know, they're all walls. The concept of the campaign and the music and the political statement that I want to put out is that music. There's a beautiful phenomena, physical and phenomena in acoustics too. It's called resonance. And resonance, when two sources resonate enough and vibrate enough. They are able to destroy a bridge or a wall, for example. It's a phenomena that happens, and sometimes, you know, engineers and architects, they have to figure out how to make very good infrastructure. And in this case, I want to say that I want people to, through the sound of music, through the sound of what I'm trying to create, I want them to resonate enough so that we can build let this guy build his wall, and then we'll destroy it with our resonance, with our power, and with taking care of each other and being comprehensive and tolerant. And so all the perks are called the wall of. So the first one is called the wall of fame, and I make a little post on Facebook. The next one is the wall of blah, 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 blah. There's the big wall of China. We have the Berlin Wall. We have the chewing gum wall from Seattle. We have the Post-it wall from New York City. You know, the one they call the therapy wall, the one that people put after Election Day. And of course, the last one and the very top one is that if you pledge $10,000, which is the amount of the campaign, I'm gonna give you a huge wall, which is basically a serenade on the Mexico-United States border. It's a three-day journey, and we're going to try to serenade all the people that unfortunately are being, you know, discriminated and have all these issues, and they want to cross the border because they, you know, I mean, I don't want to go.
You can get into politics, especially on my website, but...
For now, let's talk about the music. I want people to have a little fun, too, with the perks. It's I created all these perks, and some of them I know people cannot put. Maybe you never know, but like I know not a lot of my backers are going to put $10,000. So I created something that's nice and even a little funny, so that you know people can get a little distress on this crazy world that we have been experiencing also in the last year. You know?
No, absolutely. I'm curious in terms of where the project is right now. Have you written most of the music for the album at this stage, or is that still in process?
I have a bunch of I'm gonna call them demos, like maquetas. We call it like little, mostly sketch. Some of them are sketches. Some of them are, like demos, like songs, work in progress.
Sure. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Everything's there's a lot of things. There are a lot of things in the back of my head, and there's only one song that is already ready, and it has been, recorded in a demo version. It's already, actually, it's on the video. You can hear the song. It's called Pardal.
Okay, yes.
And it's about, it's a song about a bird, and it's saying, Vuela siempre en dirección al horizonte. Always fly towards the horizon. So the album is going to be a concept album, and I'm going to take, I'm going to write like little intros, instrumental intros, without lyrics, but probably with vocals and guitar and loops and like different kinds of guitars. And those little tracks are going to be like interludes between the songs.
Mm.
So like the first song is it's going to be Pardal. It's already the intro. And the whole theme is, the song is very poetic, and it has this idea of flying towards the horizon and keep flying and move on and make sure you keep traveling. So it's all about the nomadic nature of the album. And my idea is, like, I'm going to take little melodies from the song already to create all these bridges, all these interludes between songs. So I think I have a starting point, and I know exactly how I want it. It's just I need to sit down and just put it all together.
And then I just was curious whether, in terms of the music that you've put together so far, in terms of your various interests, influences, which are, definitely myriad, are there certain sounds or styles that, are kind of tugging at you more than others right now that people should expect to sort of hear making their way into the music?
All right. Yeah, I mean, I have a couple of ideas right now. I've always been very interested in rock music and alternative rock. Mm. And you can hear that in my music. You can hear an influence as a songwriter. On the other hand, I've been listening a lot to chamber music.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm writing some arrangements for like a woodwind section and like maybe a string quartet. I hear a lot of percussion, like a lot of layers from all over the world. I play with tabla players from India. I'm playing with people from South America, from Argentina, from Brazil, and I hear a lot of rhythm, a lot of movement, a lot of energy, and at the same time, all these beautiful layers of horns and winds. So I think there's going to be a really nice narrative in the album, where I will probably start in a very lower point, and I will try to also make a journey, like a kind of emotional curve, so that we end up with a grand finale. Because this idea of the conceptual album that I was telling you about, the songs with interludes, it's actually, there's a piece by Modest Mussorgsky, this Russian composer, and he created something called, I don't know how to say it in English, música, Cantos para una exposición.
Okay, songs for an exposition.
Yeah. So it's basically the concept is like the little interludes are like caminatas contemplativas, like contemplative, like little bridges that you are creating between the actual pieces, the actual like sonata form or like different kinds of forms.
No, absolutely. Yeah, music. I mean, sort of little pathways that tie everything together,
exactly.
The different movements and the different songs.
Yeah. You know why I'm doing this? Because we became like lazy. Our attention span in this era is like zero, and we no longer listen to records as records. As let's talk about The Dark Side of the Moon or Pink Floyd, or let's talk about I don't know any conceptual album. We don't do that anymore, and I want to do it just as an artistic statement.
No,
and
No, I mean, I love it because, I think of, albums like Marvin Gaye's What's Going On or Let's Get It On, they both use interludes and refrains that repeat throughout the album.
Exactly.
Kendrick Lamar on his To Pimp a Butterfly album in the hip hop genre, he uses musical interludes, but he also uses a poem as something of an interlude, you know, something of the of that pathway, that contemplative pathway that you mentioned, that ties that album together. And it's wonderful to see artists focus on the album as a medium and not just putting together a collection of songs, but really creating a cohesive work of art.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I've done, look, we live in 2016, the year of, you know, the year of Donald Trump, the year of of David Bowie passing away, of the Prince passing away. And this is what we need to start doing again. We need to be responsive and we need to create something bigger. Like, we have a president that has an attention span of a freaking elephant or like a sword. I don't know. And, you know,
yeah, it's not good.
We have to give a response. And what are artists going to create? Something completely against this wave. Like, as I said, inspiration wise, for me, Bowie, Prince, I don't know. Let's talk about those people that really created something. I mean, Bowie, the last album is like his freaking epitaph. I don't know how to say it.
His epitaph, yeah.
Yeah, epitaph. It's like ridiculous. It's beautiful. It's so poetic. And I think we need to start doing that again. And I've played already the game of let's release a single, let's release an EP. Mm. And I have a bunch of songs that I'm not going to put out yet because the mainstream and the media and like no one understands art anymore. So I play that game. It's a fun game. I'm going to say it's really fun. It creates a lot of buzz around what you do. But I also want to go like straightforward and say, you look at this piece of art.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate so much the time you've given me, Pablo Reyes, Nómada fundraiser going on now on Kickstarter. Just let the people know one more time how they can find that Kickstarter and contribute to the creation of this piece of art.
Yeah, so you go to Kickstarter and, you know, also online. Either you can Google Kickstarter, Pablo Reyes, Nómada in English. You can even put it that way and you'll get it right away. Otherwise, kickstarter.com/project/ Pablo Reyes Music. PABLOREYESMUSIC.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Reyes.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.